Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. And this is about the Battle of Pokrovsk. Ukraine is finally withdrawing, but I predict they won't be fully out of there for a fortnight. I am staggered they've held it for so long. I thought they're going to lose about 6 months ago. This is a battle that's been on about 1 year and 3 months. And the Russians have suffered tens of thousands of casualties. The Ukrainian forces much lower. Of course, we don't know. They don't release their casualty figures. Russia hasn't released any casualty figures since about the third month of the war because they're so embarrassingly enormous. And obviously, there are some casualties we can confirm. That's presumably a fraction of the real ones, half, probably less, a third or a quarter of the actual death toll. And obviously, there are plenty more people who are wounded than captured, than killed. Some people are captured, some are captured, wounded, some unwounded. Ukraine is pulling out because they realize they just can't keep the city. The Russians have crawled in, sometimes literally house by house, one or two soldiers into a building, a few more, and they're going to launch a big assault. They can have got some sort of shelter from drones in these houses, in the basements and so forth. And the Ukrainian supply lines are increasingly under threat. Their supply trucks being shelled, being struck by drones, only semi-effective. I read how French fishermen are giving them their old heavy horsehair nets used for dredging the sea, and these sometimes entangle some of the simpler drones. So that's some sort of protection against them. So Ukraine can't hold the city forever. There's a shortage of manpower. Zelensky made a big mistake recently when he said men 18 to 20 are allowed to go abroad, and of course a lot of them have gone abroad. Because remember, the conscription age is 25 in Ukraine. It was 27. They brought it down. Obviously, men, indeed women, can volunteer for the armed forces from the age of 18. But why not conscript them at age 18 like everywhere else? Well, they say, oh, they're mere boys. Often a person's the only child. They don't want this person to get killed, or you wouldn't want your child to be killed no matter what, even if you had 20 children. But they're all the more precious, being fewer of them, saying, well, otherwise we lose a whole generation. But they've got severe shortage of troops. If they conscript them from 18, there would be no shortage of troops. Just think, a boy aged 18 is saying goodbye at the railway station to his grandfather, age 59, going off to the armed forces. Well, which of them was more physically capable of fighting? It's preposterous. Conscripting men up to the age of 59, 60 and above, they may go abroad. But those youngsters who go abroad, a lot will not return until the shores of the war is over. Because you go back and you're 22, they might lower the conscription age to 22 or whatever. You could be killed in the drone strike, so they won't come back. So it's a big mistake not to conscript them younger. Okay, obviously, I wouldn't want to be conscripted. I wouldn't want to fight. I wouldn't want to kill or be killed. But if they're going to win, they're going to have to do all this stuff. So and they're being too restrained in what they're doing. And indeed, conscript women, even if not in combat roles. But wait a second. If women have equality, why shouldn't they be conscripted in the armed forces? Of course they can fight. About 10% of the Ukrainian military is female. About 5% of the Russian military is female. Very few Russian troops are women who've been killed in the war. They really try and keep them in non-combat roles. Nevertheless, some of them do get slain. So, yeah, the battle is ongoing, and Ukraine wanted to hold the city, some sort of symbolic significance, but also it's easy to defend buildings. You can have snipers up high, you can have troops in basements, and they got that affords much protection from artillery, from drones. Obviously, it's not perfect. And if Ukraine loses that, and they're gradually being squeezed out, there's a lot of flat land beyond there without many settlements or hamlets in which to take shelter. They have built some defensive lines, you know, digging anti-tank trenches, laying landmines, barbed wire fences and so forth. So yes, you can sweep landmines, but you know that takes time, especially if they're in amongst barbed wire, and they can get through almost any defense, but you're slowed down, you're being shot at all the time while you're doing it, while the infantry trying to clear the minefield whilst being shot at, and a lot slower if that's, you know, in and amongst barbed wire and so on, and building various bunkers underground, putting whatever is container sheds, piling earth around it just for a few soldiers to take shelter, and ideally interlocking defensives. Then there's certain pathways the tanks can go down, but that's heavily covered by artillery, so funnel them into a kill zone. But yeah, so Russia will finally take this, having squeezed forward. It's a victory, it's a Pyrrhic victory again. If they move forward at this rate of loss for the meterage gained, this will take them 232 years. The Russian nation will be long extinct before that were to happen. But obviously what Putin's banking on is a sudden breakthrough. But, you know, even when they've broken Ukrainian lines, the Russians don't have enough troops there. But they don't have enough tanks, enough armed personnel carriers, enough infantry fighting vehicles, enough howitzers and so on to really exploit the gain. And it allows the Ukrainians to regroup and rebuild their defenses. And that's why the Ukrainians are trying to withdraw in good order. Withdrawal is obviously difficult because, you know, the last man there is in a very vulnerable position. Not just the last man, the last platoon, the last battalion. They want to take their assets with them. They don't want to leave howitzers or anything behind. They've used some American Abrams tanks. Quite a few have been taken out in that area. But, you know, it's worth it if they could kill a number of Russians, if they could destroy enough tanks. That might be worth it. Would you be willing to lose one Abrams tank to destroy 5 Russian tanks or 10 Russian tanks? At some point, it's worth it, and so on. So there's this myth that Russia's got limitless manpower. They don't, which is why that they are drafting mentally ill people, mentally subnormal people. They've largely emptied the prisons, and then they can't afford to keep the bonuses going to attract people into the military. Why they're, you know, drafting more reservists and so on, and that's more and more unpopular. So and people abroad have got wise to the idea, if you sign any contract in Russia to work in construction, to work as a farm laborer or whatever, you may well be drafted into the military. Now, sometimes these are people who signed up knowingly and then they were captured by the Ukrainians. And they claimed that they were there unwittingly. Or the South African women, for example, who volunteered to go to Russia for whatever education, of course, find themselves coerced into working in dangerous drones factories with noxious chemicals under terrible conditions for poverty pay. So they'll find it harder to recruit this reservoir of labor to exploit to keep the war effort going. But it's obviously shocking and sickening that Hungary is still purchasing their oil and gas, knowing what the profits are used for, and they've got exemption from American sanctions for doing so. So the fall of Pokrovsk will put Ukraine in a more difficult position. One thing is withdrawing now, because it's in November, it's more difficult to rush to advance. It's very muddy. It's not so good for the tanks and the vehicles to go off-road, and it has not yet frozen. In December, it will snow and the land will freeze, and that will make it a bit easier to go forward, not as easy as in summer. But between, say, November and March, there's not that much progress in the battlefield. There is some, but they're not for rapid advances. And since the first sort of fortnight of the war, Russia hasn't made any rapid advances. So they can't pull many surprises, partly the sclerotic nature of their military, having to refer the tiniest decision several echelons of the chain of command. But is this a victory for Russia? In a sense, it is. Their objective was to take the city, and they have succeeded. The question is it worth the cost? Surely a moral victory for Ukrainians. Remember, it's 18 months since they took Avdiivka. And so Russia's really not much closer to the end of the war. So in the first year of the war, there was a net gain to Russia about 80,000 square kilometers. The second year of the war, a net gain of about 10,000 square kilometers. The third year, a net gain of about 5,000 square kilometers. And this year looks like it'll be about 3,000 square kilometers will be their net gain, which is pathetic considering the size of Ukraine. But yeah, I mean, Ukraine's not done enough to build good defenses west of Pokrovsk, because they could see this coming for a very long time. Obviously, you can be attacked whilst you're building them, which makes it trickier. All right, well, Slava Ukraina, Heroim Slava.